So welcome in, everyone, to the VIP Conduit Users Group for July 17th, 2024. It's been a great day, great summer. Just got through with the convention and all the goings on there. Lots of high tech in the exhibit halls. I didn't see a whole lot. Concerning the iPhone, I did get a BT Speak, which is the updated version of the Breland Speak. So still making friends with it. So that's a work in progress. But the latest iPhone news, I was sorry to hear that the developer for the Apple Viz software is gravely ill in the hospital, so the future of Apple Viz is kind of unknown at this time. Hopefully somebody will take up and carry on with it, because it's such a resource for the beginning iPhone users. So I hope that they will be able to continue with it. That's pretty much all. I've been kind of busy in the last couple of weeks with the company and, you know, all the visiting and going on with the convention. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor, and we're just going to talk iPhone. So what do y'all have to offer?
Well, one thing we might throw out, just the fact that it's available. And I don't have it, so I'm not speaking from personal experience, but I'm speaking from everything I've heard. This new Habel 1 looks to be a real useful tool. And, you know, it incorporates the Braille cell concept, and using that to do all your navigating on your phone, all your typing and double tapping and all that stuff. So if you have trouble with all those gestures, that might be an answer.
You know, I did look for them. I never was able to find them at the exhibit hall because I wanted to see what that device looked like. Never found them. So I still want to do the research on that, because if Wayne ever gets an iPhone, I think that would be instrumental in helping him navigate. So I wish Mark or Linda was in here so that they could talk to us about that. Maybe I can convince them to come to the next one so that they can give a more detailed explanation of how it works.
Yeah, I'm awfully tempted. I don't need another gadget, though, but it is tempting. Just out of curiosity more than anything, really.
We've got a link to their website in items of interest under, you know, under the Apple products, and under something else too. I can't, under maybe Braille. It's in several categories, but it sure looks interesting.
I'm going to go look for that, because I really would like to investigate that for a possibility. And I don't know if you guys are aware of, but there is a program called I Can Connect, and is for people that have a visual as well as a hearing disability. They will provide a communicative device to you, such as an iPhone, and they will give you a Braille display or probably something like the Habel one to use with the iPhone. So I will also look at that as a possibility.
I can connect. There's one that you have maybe that's something about hearing. I can't remember. Somebody's got it. If you have hearing problem and you're blind, they provide it. Now, I don't know about just being blind.
Yeah, you have to provide for them your, I guess it's your proof of blindness as well as your proof of deafness. I did go through that, and that's how I got my original iPhone. And they did give me a YouTube Mini as a Braille display. So the iPhone has since died, but the YouTube Mini is still hanging on.
Is that the people, you're saying H-A-V-A-L?
My understanding is H-A-B-L-E. Is that right there, Parker?
I think that is correct. H-A-B-L-E. B as in boy.
Okay, so it's Mabel. Mabel, Mabel. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Delete.
Hey, Mike, we're just talking general iPhone stuff, so, you know, jump on into the pool. The water is warm.
Hey, Mike.
Good evening, everybody. I figured I'd come in case there's something I didn't know, which is very likely.
Mike may know some about those things, you know, for hearing and hearing loss and vision loss. Hey, Chris Ann, come on in.
I said you would show up. Hey, Chris Ann, howdy.
Hey, Chris Ann, how are you doing today?
Good, good. I just walked in from having lunch, so I'm glad I didn't miss this.
We were just talking about the Hable 1 and how it can be used with the iPhone, and I was explaining about the iCan Connect program that will assist you with iPhone technology if you are visually impaired as well as hearing impaired.
Yeah, I know I was hearing stuff about that program going away, and I hope it didn't.
I've heard of a Hable, but I know very little about it.
So it's my understanding that it's a wireless device. You can actually put your phone in your pocket and just hold the Braille device in your hand. I might be interested in that, actually.
Yeah, Bluetooth, I believe. And Linda said it's about the size of a deck of cards, approximately.
If I'm not mistaken, isn't that the one that you can hold with a couple of fingers and a thumb and then use your rest of your fingers on the back of it like a Braille Perkins keyboard or something like that?
It is essentially a Braille keyboard, a Braille cell. So yeah, you use Braille. I don't know how you necessarily would want to do it, but it, according to everything I'm hearing, it's really easy to use.
Yeah, it's been my experience. When somebody says something is easy to use, I get worried.
Oh, come on, Cheryl.
Well, to be honest, I was typed for so many years that I am far slower with Braille keyboard input than I am with a QWERTY keyboard. So QWERTY is my weapon of choice.
According, going by what Lynn in Mississippi has said, she was extremely frustrated with the iPhone because she could not get the gestures and the double tapping and all. It just would not come. She's all excited about this thing. And apparently it's working really well. So she's, she really is a big, very happy with it.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. So I'm actually going to look into that and see how that could work going forward. Yeah. Sounds like a really neat tool. And there's another thing that Mar sent me, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's like a little knob that also works on that same idea where you twist the knob to do the flicking, twist it one way to flick forward and twist it the other way to flick backwards, and then maybe press the center of it to double tap. So there's more than one thing on the market that does similar stuff. So,
oh, that last one you just described, I'd never master that.
What, turning the knob left, right, and center?
No, my fingers, they know keyboards, and that's what I'm staying with.
Well, I did see this device, and it was smaller than a pack of cards, and it had all these buttons on it. It said, oh, it's a QWERTY keyboard, and it had, like the telephone keypad on the top of it, and it had all these buttons all the way around it. And I'm going, I don't think, no, I didn't even go any further with it. No. So what have y'all been doing with the iPhone lately? Terry, you said you're not happy with the 17. I haven't updated, but I'm about to jump off the ledge. Tell me why I shouldn't.
He ain't going to tell you.
I think he's going for a snack.
Uh-oh, we caught him multitasking. Terry. Anybody have 17 that wish they hadn't updated?
I have it. I haven't found anything really detrimental about it, but I haven't seen any reason to upgrade to it. If you got 16, I think I'd hold out for 18.
Yeah, 18's coming. I ran out in the kitchen and grabbed some cookies. I was getting more hungry. Sorry about that. You caught me.
So she was talking to you.
Yeah, I said I was thinking about upgrading to 17. Tell me why I shouldn't.
It cuts out. Mine does, anyway.
Yes.
Now, some people don't have that problem. Mine cuts out a lot. Like, I tell it to, do I have any voicemail? If I have three or four, it'll start talking, and then it'll cut out. Might do it two or three times, and eventually maybe it'll tell me all the voicemails. And it does the same thing with messages. And it doesn't ask you if you want to reply on half of them. Then if you send a message, sometimes it starts making little boop, 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 weird noises, and it won't send it, so you have to ask it to send the message two or three times. Sometimes you have to repeat your message. I hate that when I do a long message and I have to repeat the whole thing again.
Okay, I just sent the URL for the Able website to the whole room.
I have the same problem with messages, Terry. Sometimes it'll let you give a real long message and it'll copy it just fine. And other times, I mean, in the earlier versions, you couldn't do a real long message because it would just blip you out. But now it acts like it's going to work, and then it does that little bloop thing like you were saying, and it says, sorry, something went wrong. Could you try again? Well, do you have the experience where you're reading a text and it just reads part of it? I have that, and I found that if I flick to the right, then it just keeps reading, and so it's almost like it's on different lines, and it's just going to read one line at a time.
If you're talking about the message, if you're using your voice to dictate it, I think that started actually in 16, where Siri would hear his or her own voice and think that you were talking to her or him again, and then they'd shut up when they were trying to read. So since I use hearing aids, I didn't have that problem. But just about anybody that uses just the regular speakers on their phone or iPad, or I don't know about the iMac, but that was going on in 16. I think it was still going on for some people in 17.
Well, that's an interesting point. Terry, you should try hooking up a headset to it and trying to see if it'll read it that way. Maybe it is hearing itself and is thinking you're trying to dictate and getting confused.
I hadn't thought about that, Mike, but I wear hearing aids also, and I have not had that problem. I bet you're right.
Yeah, I've thought about that too. And I had Hey Siri, and I turned Hey Siri off, so it wasn't listening for anything. And that didn't help. Let's see. Yeah, I guess I do have some headphones that I'd have to use a Bluetooth. But Mar should be able to answer that, because she uses earbuds every morning, I know. So Does it do it when you have your earbuds in, Mark?
One other thing I just thought of. There was a workaround. I don't know if it works with 17, but the workaround was to say thank you or something like that at the end of your dictation so that Siri knew that you were finished.
Oh, interesting. I don't, for whatever reason, I don't do many messages with my headphones, with my earbuds in. So I'm not really sure. Usually I do them, you know, just the normal way. So I've never tried with the headphones in to see if it understands it better.
Well, there we go. That might be a solution to the issue.
I have a question. When you are typing in or whatever your messages, do you use your thumbs, your index finger, or what do you use?
Well, basically, you use whatever finger you're more comfortable with doing it. I use my thumb for flicking, selecting text, or whatever. Remember when the button, the cell phones were out and they had the texting? These people, you know, that's where the expression, oh, she's all thumbs. Well, the new version, that these kids would use both their thumbs going to town on sending texts, and they were so quick at it. But, and I just feel it, my thumb is more, I can move it easier, and it's just more agile, and it's easier to control with my thumb. So I prefer that. It seems like the fingers, the longer fingers are a little less manageable.
See, now I use my index finger for like swiping and pointing at the, you know, if I'm writing, most of the time I dictate my texts, and that's intermittent. That's intermittent with me. Sometimes it doesn't read them all the way, and sometimes it does. Again, I think it depends on being in a quiet place. There's nothing going on in the background. But for my fingers, I use my index finger.
I use my index finger as well. I would feel too awkward using my thumbs, I think.
Boy, the sweeping and the typing, left to right swipe or typing, I use my index finger. Now, for the swipe up on the screen, once I started using phones without the home button, I started using my forefinger and my ring finger to locate the edge of the phone, because it's those first phones you had to go straight up from the middle. And any deviation to left or right of center would do something different than swipe up on the screen. So I used my middle finger to go up from the bottom of the phone, and I still do it to this day, even though you don't have to be in the center.
Okay, one other question about fingering. Rotor, when you use your rotor, is there an easier way to do it than acting like you're turning a knob? Because it works fine so far, but then you can only turn so far, and then you have to reposition it, and just, or I do. Any tricks on that? And having said that, I think we went over that a while back.
Yeah, I don't think there's any easy way to do that. I usually put my fingers about an inch apart, my thumb and my index. Turn it like I'm turning the volume control, and then a lot of times I will have to come back and turn it again or turn it the other way, one or the other, to get it to where I want it.
For whatever reason, I have trouble rotoring counterclockwise. It just doesn't work for me. So I have to go all the way around to the right because I can't seem to get that counterclockwise motion to work.
I've always used my first and second finger. because I have very narrow fingers and I have a slight distance between them on the middle of the screen, and I rotor just fine. But I've had a lot of people tell me with that have larger fingers than I do that no matter what they do, sometimes it works and sometimes it don't.
Edge detection off.
Well, so far as the distance between the fingers, maybe mine's in the wrist, that the wrist only goes so far.
I think that's a lot of it. I know I use my thumb and index finger and I can turn, but it's an awkward thing to do that, you know, in your wrist, you know, until you really get used to it.
Yeah, it's hit and miss for me sometimes. You know, I use my thumb and my pinky finger and I have to like twist, 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 twist. And sometimes you have to do it multiple times to get around to what you want. That's it. Some people put one finger on the screen and then they flick down with the other. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't.
Okay, well, thanks.
What does it mean when on that rotor when it says container?
I've wondered that myself, Becky.
Isn't that for like web pages or something like that?
I think so. I don't even have containers in my rotor anymore. I took that out because I never used it. But the ones that I use the most are the characters, words, links, headings, and speaking rate. I don't even have volume in my rotor. But if you go into settings under accessibility, it's under rotor, you can find all kinds of things to put in there. It's amazing how much.
You can even choose what order they'll be in.
See, I haven't figured that out, but it doesn't really matter because if you're flicking, you know, if you're doing your rotor thing, you just go around to what it is. So usually my lines, words, and characters are lined up right together, which I like.
Mine are with whatever the phone, whatever it had when it started out, that's where they still are because I've never moved them.
The one problem I'm having is a delay. There's a delay in getting text messages. I had one the other day to remind me of a prescription that I need to get filled, and it came in on Friday, and I didn't see it until Monday, and I had been looking at, you know, in the message app for, and I had gotten other messages and all of that, and so I don't know if that's a provider issue or whether it's not, if you have a bunch of messages, and I usually don't. I try to get rid of them if, you know, as I read them and don't need them anymore, to say, you know, there's not enough room on the screen or something like that if you've got a lot of them. So, yeah, that's a thing that I'm dealing with is delays in, you know, people sending them, and I'm not getting them right away.
I would talk to my carrier about that because I'm not experienced. Usually if somebody sends me a message, I get it pretty quick. So I would maybe look at that.
Some of those things, maybe it is a carrier thing, because some of those things end up in notifications and therefore you never see them on the lock screen.
Yeah, that's it. I was thinking it would go to notifications and it didn't. It was in the message, you know, in the list of, you know, a couple messages that I had there, because I wondered the same thing, why I wouldn't have at least, because I do get notifications sometimes, and it might even say, you have a long message or something like that to tell you to go look in that app, but wasn't that either.
I never get notifications that you have a message from, you know, I don't, I've looked at that and I've got everything turned on. My messages, I get the notification, you know, like the, I've got a train whistle to notify me that a message came in, but I just have to go to the message app or I get Siri to, you know, this is something I've done recently, Siri read unread messages. So that's pretty handy. I was like, man, I never used Siri much before, but lately I've been using Siri a lot.
Is there any way to turn off the requirement to have your phone unlocked before you send a message? Because, boy, it frustrates me. I'll summon Siri, and I'll say, send a message to so-and-so. You have to unlock your iPhone first.
I don't see that person in your contacts. To who?
Oh, be quiet.
Sorry, I don't understand.
My Siri's acting crazy.
No, I never lock my phone, so I don't have that issue. And yeah, I have, when it has been locked, I want to send a message. So I think, you know, you have to unlock your iPhone before I can do that. As far as I know, there's no way to bypass that.
I think there is, actually. If you go to settings and messages, I think in there, there is a choice that you can check or uncheck that says send from lock screen or something like that.
Yeah, well, I lock my phone quite a bit, mainly because it sits here on my table, and I'm always swiping on my table to get things, drinks, and et cetera. It's on my table. And I don't want to bump something and open something and waste my battery, which I have been known to do.
Yeah, that's what I wondered. Mine locks, but I've often thought about keeping it unlocked, but does that run your battery down faster? I would think. I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't lock mine.
I don't lock mine either. It's always on, and the battery seems to last pretty good.
Yeah, I think that just is probably a personal preference thing, because mine is constantly, I always lock it. I have it set to never lock automatically, but when I'm done, it's locked and it's in my pocket.
I probably should do that, because I carry mine around in my pocket, and I don't have a case or anything, and well, the front of it's open, but it'll start talking. And I guess if I had it locked, it wouldn't talk.
Well, I just tap it and shut VoiceOver off.
We had a funny, thing happen today. I was telling the ladies at my beauty shop that I use the Be My AI. And I took a picture of myself, just a face view, just to see what it would say, because people have been talking about how whether to trust that and how accurate it is or whatever. And it said this awful, it came back with this awful description of me, you know, an elderly woman with very white hair and many wrinkles. And so I was talking to the ladies in beauty shop and they said, you absolutely have no wrinkles. There is no way anybody would know how old you are by your face, you know, and so be careful how much you trust that AI stuff.
Yeah, mine always says an older man or gentleman or whatever. I said, yeah, right.
I think, yeah, I agree with you about that AI thing, because if it sees gray hair, it's going to say, or if it sees light hair, it's going to assume that you're older. It goes by the color of your hair. If it sees blonde hair, it'll, you know. But it hasn't said... It called me older, an older lady with light hair. It's like,
Yeah, the whole AI thing has still got a long way to go. See, you really don't want to trust those too far. I was in a iPhone class once years ago. This was with a, you know, way back. I think it was with iPhone maybe 6 or 7. And they were demonstrating taking pictures and having Siri describe things. I think it had just about started right then. And this one lady got so mad because that thing said she looked like an older man.
Well, mine said a picture of an elderly woman with, I think, white hair. And my sister-in-law, who's 85, she's very perky. But anyway, I was laughing and telling them, and she said, I'd throw that thing up against the wall.
Yeah, I took a picture of Sherry. It called her an elderly woman in a wheelchair, and she's only 57, so everybody's elderly, I think.
I mean, it's great for reading, you know, like birthday cards or Christmas cards, or, you know, I had it look at a bottle of something, and it read all the ingredients on the bottle and the expiration date and everything fine. So, yeah, you just kind of get to know what you're going to get good information from it and what you're not.
Yeah, it's wonderful on cards, and also the fact that it'll read cursive writing, so you actually know who it's come from. And the little notes they put on there.
I'm still waiting for them to come up with something that can tell colors, because unless you have a dedicated color identifier, none of the apps work.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, about is there a color identifier? And yeah, other than I've got the Colorino and I've got the Color Star. And they're both good, but I've not seen an app that, I mean, the app will get you in the ballpark. It's like if you have, it'll tell you sort of what you're looking at. It won't tell you the exact color, but it might get you in the ballpark of what you're looking at.
Well, that's kind of like what my color identifiers do. I don't know what the names of mine are. One of them is the first one they came out with way back when. I don't know if it was from the printing house or where, but none of them, well, they'll just get you in the ballpark. Although, when I first got it, my son and daughter came to see me, and I had a scarf laying on the chair, and my son was able to move that thing around, and it told every color in that scarf. And when I did it, it was more or less like it was a blob.
Yeah, well, I think they said that the iPhone apps work best if the sun is shining on the item in question. But I never go to a ballpark, and according to my phone, every shirt I've got in my closet is a different shade of gray.
That's funny, Mike. Yeah, different shade of gray. That's the most common shade of color, I think, for the iPhone.
You know, I just got the Color Star, and it makes sounds that I don't understand what those sounds mean. But one thing, and I'm not going to send it back, but I would be tempted. I'm not sure that that's really designed for somebody that has never seen colors before, because it really goes into, like, it just wants, it'll say something is dusty rose or dusty, I didn't think I've even heard it say dusty black. And you kind of listen to that and go, what does that really mean? You know? And then as I move around my apartment with different lighting too, it changes. So it's really trying to figure out where to have it look at your colors in the first place. Then, like I say, its descriptions are probably a lot more than us that have never had any sight to really fully understand.
It's pretty neat, that Color Star. And it will also tell you the color of the light, which, and the intensity of the light, which I really like. And it's got two modes. What's really cool is with that, you can take a picture of, like, maybe a shirt. And then right after that, take a picture of some pants, and then it'll tell you if the colors are the similar or the same or are way different. It's a really neat tool.
And this is the Color Star. And the reason I'm asking is because Bernie has been looking for a color identifier.
So how does that work, Cheryl? I did see that button where it says the colors are the same. And the instructions that you get are not really, at least what I got anyway, it isn't really all that a good explanation of what all these different things that it does. So you take you'd have it look at one thing, and then right after that, you'd have it look at another thing, and then press that second button from the top to where it says the colors are the same. And what are you saying? It'll tell you if they match or if they would go together.
Yeah, it kind of tells you. It's been a while since I've done that, but yeah, you take you find out what color this is, and then do another one, and it'll tell you if the colors are the same or different, or so you know if they kind of go together or not.
Yeah, I had to play with it. There was an audio, what do I want to say, thumb drive that came with it. But I got to play with it because it does. It makes sounds that I'm not real sure what those sounds mean. It is a neat kind of light bulb thing. I did understand that it does that, which could come in handy. So I'm not going to send it back, but I go back to my, because I have the Colorino too. I go back to that sometimes. It's like, well, this is simpler, and it's more the definite colors instead of the shades of colors, I guess, which the color style gives you.
And where did you order, or from where did you order the color star?
Well, my Smart has them, and they have it for a fairly good price. I would recommend them.
Yeah, that's where I got mine.
Okay, thanks.
Who did you say, Cheryl? I didn't catch it.
Blind My Smart.
Okay, thank you.
Do you know if he ships to Canada or not?
I'm not sure. Possibly.
Well, I said I know him. I've met him a few times when we had our get-togethers in Houston, but I guess I could just call him and ask him.
Yeah, he's a super nice guy.
Yeah, he is.
I've got to run, folks, but thanks a bunch, Cheryl.
See you, Becky.
Oh, well, she's gone. Anybody else have any comments about the iPhone? Any questions or any app suggestions, tips?
I'm just having more and more issues of when I go to use like the product thing with which one has that, Seeing AI, you know, getting to the barcodes getting to the barcodes, and then whether they're not putting all the information like the cooking instructions or whatever in them.
Yeah, that I have never been. I have a friend that's really good at the locating the barcodes and getting it to read. And from what I understand, it works really well. But it's frustrating for me to move the product upside, you know, backward, forward, upside down, trying to figure out where that barcode is. And there's probably a trick to it that I haven't learned. I know that on a can, it's near the seam. But on a box, that's a different story. And on something like a frozen product, that's also a different story. So, yeah. If you figure it out, please bring it back.
Yeah, I have trouble with that. Sometimes I'll just open it up and get the short text to read the text on the box. Sometimes that almost works better for me.
I'll use Be My Eyes and take a picture, and it'll generally have tell me what it is, and then there are cooking instructions. And then I'll go to the Ask More and say, well, all right, what are the cooking instructions? And it'll usually tell me.
A lot of times it tells me. I don't see them. Turn it over. They're usually on the back. So then I do that, and then it finds it.
Or it will say, it's upside down.
Sometimes they put them on the side panel, too, and that's a nuisance.
And that's very difficult to get. Hold that up, you know, especially if it's like an angled package, and then take a picture at the same time. That's a trick.
Well, I'm glad now that they have it so you can hit your up or down volume to take a picture. That makes it a lot easier.
That must be a 17 update because mine does not work like that. It will not take a picture.
What did you say, Terry? How do you do that? Because I didn't know you could do that either.
Yeah, when you aim your camera to take a picture, and you just hit your volume up or volume down button, and you hear the camera click. It'll take a picture, and then it'll send it up for you, you know, tell you what it is. Works pretty good. It's a lot easier than tapping the darn, you know, phone to do it.
When you double tap the thing to take a picture, guaranteed what was in the frame is no longer.
Yeah, that's why I like the button on the side.
I generally don't have a problem with it, because if it's focused on double tap, you don't have to really hone in on where it says that. You can just double tap anywhere.
Yeah, I've always did it. Never had a problem with that either, but the side is easier.
So I'm going to have to update to 17 to get that volume button to work, huh?
Either that or wait till 18. Sounds like 18 will be coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, you only got a couple more months. I would be tempted to tell you to wait because I just didn't see anything real spectacular with 17.
Well, the only thing is I've got this nav crew thing that I don't know if that's going to go away or not. Not seeing anybody have that problem. It's driving me batty. I can't get past it without touching underneath where that is because you can flick and it'll say dictate, 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 dictate. And it won't let you go past it. And you have to refocus your finger underneath it to get to the messages. That's in mail. That's in messages. It's just nuts.
I read yesterday that you can download the beta of 18 now, but they don't recommend you doing it on your phone that you're using all the time. If you got a old phone or something, then you can put it on that to play with. That's how you should do it, they said.
And aren't some of the really high end features, really, you'd have to have a pro, like a 15 pro or whatever, not just your plane like me. I have this just regular 13. But I don't know how many of those features are that big of a deal. I mean, whether it's extended camera things or, you know, with the LiDAR and stuff like that, yeah.
Well, you know, I got the pro for the LiDAR feature. And I hardly ever used the LiDAR feature because I was using it at work one day and I was all by myself in the office. So I was kind of going around looking at the different, you know, cubicle chair, telephone, different things like that. And all of a sudden it said person. And it scared the heck out of me. And it's person. There's nobody in here but me. Then I figured out it was, as I was walking, I saw my hand out a little bit. I saw my hand. It scared the heck out of me.
I haven't used that since I tried it a couple times right after I got it, the phone. I don't think I've used it yet or since.
And what is it called?
I'm not even sure the correct name. I think LiDAR.
I can never really get it to work right. I mean, it would recognize, you know, different things like that, but I liked it. The one time I got it to work, it would say chair 2 feet away, door 4 feet away, something like that. Now, that was pretty cool, but I've never really got it to work properly.
It just reminded me of another pet peeve of mine. You know, they have these apps that the real estate people use that'll zoom across the room and tell them just how, what the square footage of the room is and how far a wall away is, et cetera, et cetera. Why haven't they been able to get anything on the iPhone to do it more better than that measurement app, which is iffy at best?
That would be kind of helpful, though, if you drop something and you can't find it and it says it's 2 feet away. That would be, you'd kind of know where to look for it.
I think that might be coming with the betterment of AI. Right now, you're kind of stuck calling error or be my eyes.
Okay, a few months ago, or not even that far now, they had this video. And it was to do with AI. And it was talking about, you know, this guy that says, oh, because he was in asking AI and he was wearing these glasses and he was saying, oh, it's the king in residence because he was in London. And the AI go, yes, the king is in residence because the flag is up showing that the king is indeed there. And I'm going, now I'm waiting for that. It's a game changer.
Well, I needed to do the little stuff like never fails when you take stuff out of the dryer and that little dryer sheet disappears. And it may take a day or two when you're walking around your apartment in bare feet or slippers or whatever. And all of a sudden it shot across the room somehow or other. And I'm waiting for something that I can ask it, you know, where's my dryer sheet?
Well, Cheryl, thank you so much. I've had double dose today. I can't believe that I actually showed up for both of them. But thanks much.
Me too. I want to thank you. I always learn something. Thank you very much. Catch y'all later.
Oh, there's my key. I was trying to key up. I don't know if I had the key or not. But anyway, it looks like we're coming to the end of the hour, and since we've been talking dryer sheets for the last 5 minutes, I guess we're out of iPhone subjects, so we're going to go ahead and close the session for today. Thank you all for coming. This was a lot of fun, as always. We'll be here in 2 weeks to do it again, so thank you all for coming.